Golfers, by the way, we got our golf outing today, our league golf outing right after service. So keep that in mind. Don't be late. We're teeing off at 1 o'clock. Okay, not 1:05. No. 1 o'clock Eastern time, okay? Not Bethel time, but Easter time, okay? So that'll be great. So, so let's keep that in mind. That'll be a lot of fun. All right. Do we have our Bibles today? Yeah? Okay. Whether you got the old school version or you got them on your device, why don't we grab them if we can and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to share a message entitled Grace 101. Grace 101. I want to talk about grace today. Now, when I say grace, I know that that word can actually trigger a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different meanings. Some people think, well, yeah, grace, that's my grandma's name. Others will say, grace, that's what we say before we eat. And none of those, I'm not here to talk about your grandma, and I'm not here to talk about what you're going to pray right before you eat your mozz sticks today. What I do want to do, though, is talk about the doctrine, if you will, of grace, because I think that this can be a very misunderstood subject for a lot of people who follow Jesus Christ. There are some thoughts about the grace of God that I think can get skewed a little bit because of maybe our upbringing, maybe because of our experience, our life experience, maybe from what we've learned or what we've been taught. And I'm sure there's good elements in most of all of that. But today, I would like to take a look at one of the more powerful passages of Scripture when it talks about the grace of God and what our response is to God's grace. It's often been said that grace, take the letters G-R-A-C-E, that stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is something that none of us deserve. And yet, the Lord freely pours out to those of us who will receive that. And I would like to share this message with you, this passage with you. I'd like to break it up for you today. And my goal today would be for us to respond properly to the grace of God, wherever you might be in your spiritual journey. If you're able to, could I invite you to stand with me in honor of God's word as we read this together? Grace 101, Ephesians chapter 2. Going to start in verse 1 and go to verse 10. Ready? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Lord, As we look at this word grace, I'm asking you, God, that you would speak to your people, those that are here in person, those that are joining us online, that we would be reminded just how amazing your grace is. But Lord, may we not just be reminded of it, but God, may we respond to it as well. So Lord, we'll thank you for all you do. Meet with us now, I pray, as we dig into your word in Jesus' name. And we all said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Grace 101. When we talk about grace, what are we talking about? I think our passage here can actually give us a lot of clarity on a topic that can be very much misunderstood when we talk about grace. Your concept of grace will often go hand in hand with your concept of God. Let me say that again. I want to make sure you catch that, okay? Your concept of grace will go hand in hand with your concept of God. If you think that God just wants to make you as miserable as possible, hallelujah. If that's your concept of God, then your concept of grace is going to be, well, he would never give that to me. On the flip side, if you think that God's last name is Claus, and he will just give you whatever you want, no matter what, he'll just say, well, I don't really need his grace because he just loves me the way I am and I never need to change. And somewhere in the middle of those two extremes is an accurate picture of God, but also our accurate picture of grace. And I want to give you four fundamental truths today when we look at this word grace from this passage of scripture. I think this could help a lot of us here today. So let's jump into this. You ready? Number one, I want to take a look at the absence of grace. The absence of grace. Grace is something that we need to receive. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. Without the grace of God, we are lost. You just saw a 2-minute video of the heartbeat of our fellowship, the Assemblies of God, where we desperately want to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are billions of people that still do not have a testimony, a view, a witness of who Jesus really is. And so the great commission, if you will, when Jesus said, go and make disciples, that compels us to reach as many people as possible. Why? Because we feel, and the Bible tells us, that without grace, mankind is lost. Look how chapter 2 started again. We just read it, but let's take a look again, starting in verse 1 and going to verse 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. What a nice way to start a chapter. Hey, you were dead. Okay, number two, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Did you catch that last sentence? Because our default setting. How many of you know that all of your electronic devices have a default setting, right? A factory reset. You could reset your phone and there it is, just like it came out of the factory. Well, your factory reset, your default setting, please don't make that sound, but it's this carnal nature that says, I live to gratify all the temptations and the lures of what my flesh reaches out to me and tries to totally cover me with. It tries to lure me in. My nature says, I don't need God. I don't need to do things his way. I am going to look out for myself. My nature by itself, and yours, by the way, lest you think, boy, our pastor's a scumbag. And maybe you think that, but give me more time. Our nature is that I'm a sinner and I'm lost. And my sins and my transgressions, they cause me to be lost. You see, without the grace of God, we are spiritually dead in our sin. We have no hope. Why are we all about trying to reach people for Jesus? In fact, if you're lost today, when I say lost, if you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never received the grace of Jesus Christ before, unfortunately, the Bible says that you are lost and that you are dead without the grace of Jesus Christ in your life. And that's a hard truth. And our culture would even say, no, now that's not nice. That's not nice. But it's truth. I said it's truth. And the Bible is truth. Amen? The Bible's called a sword. Okay? How many know swords cut? So if we're going to accept the truth, it's like, okay, there's the truth, God, right there. That's why we're so passionate. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we're so passionate about giving people a chance to find Christ as their Lord and Savior. Why? Because without the grace of God, we have no hope. Romans 3:23, I don't have it on the screen, but it says that all of us have sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that the wages or what we earn because of that sin is death. And that by itself, just isolating the absence of grace, it's a very hopeless situation. But how many of you know that Jesus is all about hope? Can you say amen? So we've seen the absence of grace, but then as we continue in our passage here, we also look at the appearance of grace. Yeah, we saw the absence of grace, but now we come to the next few verses and we see the appearance of grace, where God says, mankind, whom I made in my own image, mankind, whom I love so much that I sent my son to die for them. Mankind, who they are my masterpiece. They are my children, my sons and daughters. I love them so much. What did God decide to do when he saw that mankind was lost without the grace of God? Look at verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is, look at this, he is rich in mercy. Those of you who think that he is that like cosmic traffic cop with his sin gun pointed at you, and he can't wait to bust you for doing something bad, okay? I don't think that's the picture of God that you need to have. It says that God, who is rich in mercy, what did he do? He made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace that you have been saved. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. What did God the Father do? God the Father saw mankind that was deceived by sin. That's what sin does. Sin deceives. It'll cause you to do things that you never thought you'd do. It causes you to say things that you never thought you would say. It causes you to go places that you never thought you would go. Dinner's done. And And how quick on your feet you got to be with all these tones now in the 21st century. They teach us that in preacher school. And so God saw mankind and how lost they were. He said, I have an answer. My son. And grace appeared. A few months were, I hate to tell you this, but maybe it excites you, but we're celebrating Christmas. Some of you are scowling at me right now. I can see it in your face. Yay, baby Jesus. But grace appeared on that day in a manger. Grace lived in my place. Lived a sinless life. Grace went to the cross for me. Died in my place. And as we sang this morning, grace rose from the dead and is alive now. Grace is Jesus Christ. You see, there is a way out of the penalty and the shame of sin. Jesus died on a very cruel cross. So many of us know this. He died on a very cruel cross to set us free. Free from that absence of grace, where he hung and died and took upon my sin upon himself, to which now he extends to mankind today. Friend, let me tell you something. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've drifted from God and you're not serving him right now, I want you to know that grace has appeared today. No, it's not in some preacher standing in front of you with all of his points in the same letter as God intended, by the way. No, it's not found even in a church. It's found in Jesus Christ. It's found in Jesus Christ. And grace is available to every person who needs it today. But there's a responsibility on your part. That leads me to number three, the acceptance of grace. We've seen the absence of grace. We've seen the appearance of grace. But grace has to be accepted. Verses 8 and 9, very famous scriptures. A lot of us, when we were taught how to lead someone to Jesus Christ, this was one of the memory verses that we had. It says, "For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." This is where our culture gets the grace of God incorrect. Because the grace of God is a gift. It has to be received. It's not a reward. It's a gift. Please look at that again. The grace of God is not a reward. Oh, you did so good. Here's my grace. The scripture tells us that our righteousness, or what we can do, is actually compared to filthy rags compared to the grace of God. There is nothing I can do that would cause God to say, "Wow, look at that resume. Let him in." And why is this important? See, because if grace could be earned or won by us, then that makes the death of Jesus an absolute colossal waste of time. That's why Jesus went to the cross. It was the only way. The book of Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But yet, mankind needed a perfect, holy sacrifice. None of us fit that bill. That's why Jesus came and lived for 33 years, sinless, and died a sinless man, 100% man, 100% God, dying in my place so that I could receive this gift. called grace. But grace has to be received. Anybody ever get a gift that you weren't too wild about? Yeah. And yet they give it to you, like, in a crowd? Like, the worst. Like, I got, like, I hope this offends nobody, but I got a Jesus head belt buckle one time. Yeah, right? It's not cool, son. Even for me, it's not cool. And I thought, and I got this, I'm like, oh, thanks. Wow. Boy, this is yard sale material. You know what I'm saying, right? Right? And we all have that closet full of regift. Yeah. That's the worst thing. Yeah, I just give it to my son. But love you. Sometimes we handle, though, the gift of the grace of God kind of the same way. Oh, hey, thanks. But do we really cherish it? I mean, when we have communion, here's my fear, okay? I'm a self-confessed church brat. Got saved at the age of 9, so that's like 20 years ago or so, okay? Or so, work with me, people, okay? Goodness sakes. And so I've been serving Jesus for half a century. Now that sounds old. And so sometimes I have been guilty, because I've been raised in this stuff. I've been guilty for the bread and the cup. I've been guilty for the cross to kind of be a cliche for me. It's almost a tradition. It's almost up here in my brain, but it's not really sometimes in my heart if I'm not careful. And you know what? If the only gift I have is the grace of God, I have an amazing gift. It's an amazing gift. Greater than any vehicle, greater than any amount of money, greater than any gift card, greater than anything that you can imagine is the grace of God. But you've got to receive it. God offers it to humanity, but it's up to humanity to take it. What we can never do is assume that God says, you will take this gift or else. That's not how God works. Because remember, God's a perfect gentleman, and he will never force himself on anybody, ever. So God's grace, that gift, it's not earned. It's received. Now, here's the risk of me preaching this sermon so far in this room. Because a lot of you are looking at me like, duh, I know all this, okay? And I'm glad you do. That's great. But I think sometimes it's good for us to have a little bit of a reminder just how precious this gift is that comes from God. But I will say, Christian, if that is you, and for the last 19 minutes you've thought that, well, I guess this one doesn't apply to me, here comes the last truth that will apply to you. And that's this: the action of grace. The action of grace. Because some of you thought I just covered it. In fact, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it even says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he rose from the dead, we will be, what? Saved. So we know this. But a lot of us in here, we've made that decision. And that's awesome. But I would submit to you today that there is another level of responsibility that I will call the action of grace that each of us should embrace. And it's a great verse. And I think what happens sometimes, we read verses 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not out of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Great. Glad you could rattle that off. But look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, okay? You like that so far? Ah, yeah, he made me. I'm special. Some are smarter than others. I am special here. Created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There is no way that God's sitting up in heaven, he's saying, pray the prayer. Yeah, you pray the prayer. Okay, just sit down. Do nothing. Just die. And I'll see you when you get there. Okay, that's not God's posture towards us. Okay, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we really need to take in verse 10. Because we are God's handiwork. So God made you specifically and creatively, and he hardwired you significantly and specifically the way that you are. A lot of us, all of us in here, we are hardwired a different way than somebody else. Thank God for that. Can you say amen? Oh, if you were all like me, that'd be bad. That'd be a train wreck. But listen to me, you've been created the way that you are. So all those quirks, God made that. Sure, we can improve on our quirks. You know, if you're robbing banks or shoplifting, let's improve, huh? Amen? Okay, that'd be a good area. But I'm talking about like those nuances that our personality has. Some of us are a little bit more OCD than others, right? Or maybe it should be CDO because it's alphabetized, you know, right? Okay. So, some of us are very athletic. Some of us are not. Some of us are musical. Some of us are not. Some of us are very organized. Some of us are not. Some of us, we're great administrators. Others, we're like, just tell us what to do. We'll get the job done. You know what I'm talking about? There are people, you are mechanically inclined. Some of you are me. Don't send your car to me. I'm just telling you right now. But all of us, God brings us all together. Every one of us. Making all of us. And see, here's the problem, okay? A lot of us think to be significant in the kingdom of God, we got to stand up here. Playing an instrument, singing, preaching, teaching. I got to tell you, significance in the kingdom doesn't mean you're a celebrity. Doesn't even mean you have a big platform. It just means you're faithful. I'm going to say this again. If you think you have nothing to offer the kingdom of God, I have something to tell you. God created you specifically to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. And some of us might even think that our life experience, that we've somehow messed that up, that God can't use us because of the mistakes that we made. And here's what I know. God can use my good, and God can use my bad. He will use my life. He will use my experiences. In fact, he will never waste an experience for any child of God. You have been created to do good works. See, good works, that is the result of God's grace. It's not a requirement for it. Look at that again. Good works, that comes because I've received the gift of grace. I've accepted Christ. And because of that, I'll serve him. It's not this way. Ooh, I work here, I work here, I do this, I do that, I sing this, I do that, I play this, I do that, I clean this. That's got to get me in. God says, no, you got it backwards. Your good works don't result in my grace. Your good works are a fruit of my grace. They come as a result of it. Can I ask you a really, really important question, Christian? What have I done with the grace that the Lord has given me? What have I done with that? What have I done with that? What am I doing? Because I just read a verse in verse 10 that said, God prepared you to do these things in advance. So God's got a plan for you. Every one of you. Every single person within the sound of my voice, God's got a plan for you. And he wants to use you to do good things that bring glory to God. Is it any wonder that Jesus said, we just covered this in our Bible study not too long ago on Wednesday nights. Jesus said, let your light shine before all men so that they may see your good works and put their faith in God. Do you see what happens? When we live this out, when we walk this out, you're being watched. Not by the government, well, maybe. Not by your smart TV, but maybe. But you're being watched. You're being watched at work. You're being watched on campus. You're being watched at home. You're being watched everywhere. And every good thing you do is a deposit in someone's account to bring them closer to Jesus Christ. You have a purpose. It's in your words. It's in the small actions that you do. It's in the things that you do. It's in the big things and the small things. But if we let our light shine, if we actually embrace this purpose that God has for all of us, that I have been created to do good things. And God wants to use those good things so that other people can receive the same gift that I myself received. What are you doing? What are you doing with the grace that God has given you? Friends, today, I want you to know the Lord loves you. Loved enough to die for you. It doesn't end there. He's also there to use you because he created you with a story in mind. Jonathan, can you help me? Can we all stand, all of us here today? Let's pray. Jesus, would you let your Holy Spirit search us again like you did earlier? But this time, Lord God, show us how we can answer that question. What have we done with the grace that you've given us? God, have we received this free gift of grace? Every head bowed, and every eye closed. I wonder, across this room, is there someone here today? You would say, I'm not in a right relationship with God today. Things are not right between me and Jesus. And what I need before I depart from this place, I need that free gift of grace. I need Jesus to forgive me. I need him to change my life and change my direction. Very quickly, I will not embarrass you, but if that's you today and you need that touch, you need that gift today, I want to know whom to pray for today. If that's you, could you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? I want to pray for you today. Thank you. Thank you. I need that free gift of grace. Are there others here today? Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Friend, maybe you're here and you've received that gift, but it's either you don't cherish it like you should, or maybe you've done nothing with it. And God is saying, it's time. It's time. Use this gift. I've created you to do a good work. Let's do it. And if God's dealing with you today, I want to give you a chance to respond to the Lord today before you leave here, where you'll just say, yes, God, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I will obey you. I will do your will. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask us all to help each other here today. So we had some people who raised their hand to receive that gift. And today I want us to pray together. And if you raised your hand, maybe you didn't for some reason, but you know you need to pray this prayer, I'm going to urge you to pray this so that you can walk out of here knowing that that gift is sealed and it's in your heart and God's ready to use you. And then after we all pray together, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to the grace of God today. And just, maybe you need to pray at this altar, maybe you need to pray at your seat, but can we make this a place of prayer where we say, God, how do you want to use me to do good works that you've already planned on my doing? What do you want me to do? Have that conversation with your King today, would you? Let's start this way. Why don't you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for your grace. I receive it in your name. I ask you, come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. Change my direction. Change my life and help me every single day to live for you. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe in my heart that you rose from the dead. And your word says that I am saved. So I thank you for this gift. Help me to live for you now. In Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I'm asking you that you would meet with your people. God, some of us, we need to hear your voice. We need direction. God, help us be obedient in the small things, not just the large, extra large things, but God, the small things that we could do on campus, the small things that we could do at home, at work, in our apartment complex, at home, in our neighborhood. God, help us be obedient to those leadings and to those things. And Jesus, I thank you for what you will accomplish through your people. Meet with us now, I ask you, Jesus, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to pray, please feel free to do so right now. You can come to this front area or